to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Worship the King of Kings, the one true God, the one who sits on the throne, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the God of Moses. Hallelujah. The God of the apostles, the glory of Israel, the Holy One, the King of the universe, the one that made himself into a flesh. He gave himself a human body, and he came here in this world in a human body. Can you imagine that? The King of the universe, the one that is greater than the universe. The one who created the universe, all the galaxies, stars, and all that was created by him. He made himself into a human being and came here into this world. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Worship him. He's our God, our Savior. He's the one who walked on the water. He's the one who rose the dead. He's the one who healed the lame. He's the one who opened the eyes of the blind. Hallelujah. They thought they had killed him, and they did. They did kill him. They put him in the tomb. But 3 days later, they killed him. They put him in the tomb, and they put guards on the door of the tomb because there were rumors that he was going to rise again. And the Roman government decided to put guards in there to make sure that the apostles wouldn't go there and steal the body and say that he had risen. So the Romans, they put guards in there. But guess what happened? There was a shake of the ground, and all the guards, they were blind by the light that came from the tomb. And he came out of the tomb. He is alive forevermore. Put your hands together. Worship our Kings of Kings. Lord of Lords, the great I Am. Hallelujah. He's the only one who deserves our worship, our praise. He's the one true God. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Hallelujah. I am the life. Praise God. Let's take a look in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Let's everybody read it together. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. That believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto our salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks, and to all people afar off. As you close our Bibles right now, let's close our eyes. Lord, we want to thank you for the privilege to be in your home today. We want to thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to come to church. We have that freedom to come in here, and we have a freedom to proclaim your word. We want to thank you today. This is a privilege to come to church, to worship you. This is an honor for us to call you our Heavenly Father. It is an honor to us to be called brothers and sisters and follow Jesus Christ. I speak with us this morning and help us, O Lord, to grow in the knowledge of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Put your hands together. Praise God. Have a seat. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. The title of the message is Jesus is for sharing. Yes, Jesus is for sharing. My objective today is to encourage my brothers and sisters in the Lord to share their salvation in the holy, precious name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We are called from the darkness to the light of Jesus. And we need to let our light shine bright. We are a city on the hill. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible calls the church, a city on the hill for all people to see. Hallelujah. And the darkness has to flee away, because when the light shines, the darkness has to flee away. So have you ever had a very interesting thing that happened to you and you want to share with someone? We all love sharing good news, whether it's an engagement. You want to know who's getting engaged in the church. You want to know who's getting married. You want to know who's pregnant in the church, in your family, in your work. You go to work, you want to know who's getting engaged, who's getting married. You want to know the latest news in your school. You go to school, you talk to your peers. You want to know what's going on in their lives, in our work, in our families, in our neighborhood. You want to know things. And that's natural. That's human. The truth is that we want to share all the exciting news with the people. We share it all the time. We are constantly sharing experiences that we have, news that we have. We are constantly receiving news of events. We are listening to news and stories that happen to our family members, our friends, our co-workers. We are constantly talking about events, giving our opinion about issues. And we plan according to the news that we are being nurtured. Whenever something major happens in our lives, whether it's positive or negative, we are willing to share with everyone. We even share with strangers when we get stuck in a line in the post office and there's a long line and we have to wait. We turn to the person behind us and we start chatting and talking. We love calling people on the phone. We want to know what's going on with them. We talk about the latest news about family. We check about what's going on. There's many people have a Facebook account. If you have, raised your hands. Let me just get a feeling of this crowd. Oh, praise God. Yeah, some people have, some people don't. We log in Facebook basically to see what's going on with our friends, our acquaintances, family. It's part of human being to be curious, to want to know what's going on. We long for that knowledge, to learn and to interact with the situations. We all want to know what's going on in the world. And I remember when I got engaged, I was planning our wedding. I had to call all my friends, all my families to give the good news. When my first son was born, I was sending pictures and spreading the news to everyone I know. And we want to share the news, the things that are going on. My wife is pregnant now. We want to make sure that everybody knows there is another baby coming in the way. And praise God for that. And we share even trivial things, things that are very little. Like, for example, when my son learned how to write his name, he was in a pre-K, was a very trivial thing. He was learning how to write his name, but I had to call my mom and all my friends in Brazil, tell them how he was learning how to write. And all the little things, when he start walking, when he start speaking, we all get excited with the child. And we share things that are important to us, things that make us happier, things that worry us. We are constantly communicating, sharing ideas. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not different. God intended us to share with everybody in our sphere of influence, everybody we know. Amen. Can you say amen for that? Praise God. Hallelujah. We are called to share the Bible. Amen. We share our knowledge that we have of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How he delivered us. How he brought us from the darkness to his light. And Jesus is calling us to share. and the Pentecostal experience, the Holy Ghost in filling, the baptism in Jesus' name. This was never meant to be a private experience. In other words, it's not meant to be your private thing. Because Jesus asked us, he commanded us to share, go and share the gospel. I'm paraphrasing the Bible verse. So he called us to share. So that was never meant to be a private issue. In other words, your religion, if we could call that, was never supposed to be a private. It is for share. Jesus is for share. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He called us to share, to speak up, and to express what's going on in your life, all the wonderful things that God has done in your life. And we are called to share. Praise God. Share God. There is one God who has revealed himself as our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, and as the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. He is both human and God. God wants us to share the rebuke of sin and taking on salvation. Everyone has sinned and needs salvation. All the world, all people, all over the world are born with already that seed of sin. Salvation comes by grace through faith based in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are called to share the gospel. The saving gospel is the good news. We have so many bad news in this world. Every time you look at the news, it's something bad. There's more bad things than good things. But the good news that we have to share is the good news that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. And that it is for today. It is for us to speak that gospel today. It happened over 2,000 years ago. But it is modern. It is for the future. It is for this generation. So we are called to speak the gospel. We speak to our peers, to our families, to our co-workers, to everyone we know, everyone that is in our sphere of influence, which we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. Hallelujah. The saving gospel, which is we are called to talk about repentance, the need for repentance of sins. Water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, which is the burial, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial sign speaking in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jews first and also to the Greek." In Mark 8:38 it says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation." That's what he calls this generation, adulterous and sinful. "Of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus is talking about his second coming. Hallelujah. We're going to be meeting him. Hallelujah. And we don't want to be in that group or that he's going to be ashamed. In Revelation chapter 21:8. So I was preparing this Bible study this week, and that Bible verse just hit me, and I was like, "Oh Lord, I haven't seen that. Thank you, Lord, for giving me that Bible verse."
is in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 8. I was reading this Bible verse, and that popped up to me. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So I read the Bible verse, and I was looking at that, and as I was reading it, I saw unbelieving, I saw there unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and liars. Yeah, you can understand that. It's talking about how they have their part in the lake which burn with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. But then I saw in the top, I saw the fearful. And I was puzzled. I said, the fearful? What fearful? What fearful? Fearful of what? Who is the Bible talks about how we have to fear God. And he says, but the fearful. And I was puzzled, what is the fearful? Then I went to another translation of the Bible to find out what was that. What the fearful, what does that mean? I went to English Standard Version. And in there says, instead of fearful, it says, but as for the cowardly. Then I went, I was not very... I still want to know a different translation to make sure. Then I went to the Aramaic Bible in plain English, Revelation 21:8. But it says, Revelation 21:8, it says, but to the timid. And then goes on, the unbelievers, the evil, the defiled, the murdered, the sorcerers, the fornicators, idol worshippers, and all liars. Their part is in the burning lake of fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then I went to the word, because I was doing my message on a word document in the computer. And I click on synonyms for the words ashamed. And I found ashamed, fearful, cowardly, shy, spineless, embarrassed, nervous, cautious, feeling guilty, weak, reluctant. And then I thought, maybe that group of people are those that they are not unbelievers. They are believers. They are believers. Because the unbelieving is in a different group. So they are believers, but they are the believers. They are fearful to stand up for Jesus Christ. Those that are shy, you see, those that are shy, cowardly, fearful, embarrassed, nervous, they are so cautious, feeling guilty, weak, reluctant. Those are the people that believe, but they are fearful. They are embarrassed. Why God put in there? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What Paul? Why did Paul wrote that? Because he knew that some people would be ashamed. And why Jesus said that all of those that are ashamed of me and my words, I also just. I'll be ashamed of him when I come back. So we hear so many people saying, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. All the politicians, if they want to get elected, they better say that they are Christians, right? It doesn't mean much because that means that you're a member of a church, of those historical church. But we learn today. We learn through all the Bible studies with Pastor Kyle on Wednesdays that we are called not just to be Christians. You see, the Bible talks about Christians only three times. When they were called Christians in the book of Acts, they were called Christian by people that it doesn't say if they were Christians. And then only three accounts, and the other account was King Agrippa, that he was accusing Paul, trying to seduce him to be a Christian. And the third is one of the letters of Peter he was writing, but he doesn't really mean Christian. He meant more like a followers of Jesus Christ. So we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We should never be afraid to declare Jesus is the solution for this world. All these problems that are going on in the world, Jesus is the solution. They all go around talking about peace and security. All the United Nations, they have those meetings talking about peace and security. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the one who brings peace to the Jews, peace to the Palestinians. He is the one who brings peace in the Middle East. He is the Prince of Peace. Peace to our world. Amen. He is the peace that the world needs. Jesus Christ is the solution. He is the one that he is the one in the past, in the present, and in the future. He doesn't change. God is the same. We are called to share the gospel. Find your sphere of influence. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 15 says, not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labor, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. There is another version that says, we do not boast beyond limit of our labors of others, but our hope is there. As your faith increases, our area of influence among you might be greatly enlarged. Let's talk about your sphere of influence. What is that? A sphere of influence is the group of people that you have influence to control and change. Everybody has a sphere of influence. It is the group of people that you have the power to control and transform. For example, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, they are in your sphere of influence. Your relatives are in your sphere of influence, your co-workers, friends. Our sphere of influence enlarges and takes different shapes. People can get into your sphere of influence during a period of time. The more we influence people, the greater our sphere of influence will be. It expands as we build relationships, develop connections. Think who you can impact in this world. Who is in your sphere of influence? We can change the world, but we can impact and change those that are in our area of influence. Who can be impacted by your testimony? There is a lot of talking about when we go to reach people, there's talking about judgment. You probably have heard that Jesus doesn't judge, or who am I to judge you? When we go to reach for people, and they turn and say, you are judging me, and we don't want to judge people, we don't want to offend people, and their belief systems, you see. But it is not a question of Christians judging Christians, or Christians or followers of Jesus judging unbelievers. If someone says to you, don't judge me, the best answer is to say, the Bible says that everybody is already judged. It's not me or you to judge. The Bible already passed the judgment. So let's take a look in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 15 through 21. It's not Brother Vieira saying that. It is the Bible that says that. Amen? So I don't want you to say, oh, Brother Vieira said that. But I want you to say the Bible says that. Look at that. The Bible says that everyone is already judged. The Word of God is the judge. We're going to be judged by the books in the Bible. The Bible, the point the Bible makes is that everybody is already judged by Jesus. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Look at that. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Can you see that the world is already condemned? But that the world through him might be saved. Let's look at 3:18. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And goes on. And he that believe on him is not condemned. And this is the condemnation. And this is the condemnation of the world. Look at that. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Maybe you don't like the way that I'm reading that, so I'm going to just read a little bit different. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But the way that I read doesn't change the meaning. Or if I read, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The message is the same. The meaning of the words are the same. It just changed the way that you read. Because you can read with emphasis, with a warning, to warn people. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's take a look in 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds shall be reproved. In verse 21. But he that doeth truth come to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's put your hands together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And he says, the only sin that there is no forgiveness is the sin of rejecting Jesus, as you read in this Bible verse. Because even if you are murderer, adulteress, liar, robber, if you repent of your sins, Jesus is faithful to forgive all the sins. Amen? Praise God. He is faithful to forgive all the sins. But I was having a conversation with another Christian the other day. We're talking about the only sin that there is no forgiveness. The only sin. Maybe some people have blasphemed against the Holy Ghost. And then later on, they got the Holy Ghost. They started speaking in tongues. Some people, sometimes they blaspheme against Jesus. Then they become Christians later on. And they are there following the Lord. And all the blasphemy, the cursing that they said before is forgiven. is washed away. But you, then you have the person that in his own mind, he doesn't need Jesus. You know, he's not a murderer, you see, but he's not like a bad as the concept in the world. They are not bad, but they are not coming to Jesus. They're not submitting themselves to the power of God. They're not seeking Jesus. And that is the condemnation that comes to the world because they rejected Jesus. That's the only sin that God can forgive. How God is going to forgive someone that does not come under the blood of Jesus, does not submit himself to Jesus? And 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, give it to the Lord. And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that come to me shall never hunger, and he that believe on me shall never thirsty." Jesus proclaimed himself to be the bread of life. We must share the bread. Remember the miracle, the food multiplication. There was a little boy, a little lad. In John 6:9, it says, "There is a lad which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" The disciple asked. "There is a lad which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many?" You see? What are they among? That's the apostle says. And but there are, what are these among so many? The apostles, that's their vision of it. But what Jesus did, he took that basket with the 2 loaves, and 5 barley of breads, and 2 small fish. He took the basket, he thanked the Lord for it, and he multiplied that. He fed 5,000 people with that little basket of 5 breads and 2 fish. Now the question is, I know this is a story that we tell children, but I want to turn to you today. What is in your basket? Now, you might think, like the disciple says, but what are this? Very little. You might think that. You can put the Bible verse again. You might say, but what is this? But what are they among so many people? But let me tell you something. If you have Jesus, you have everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to him. Jesus took the little and multiplied. Jesus fed the multitude, 5,000. Give your gift. Feed the hungry. Give a drink to those that are thirsty. Jesus is not only talking about the physical food, but the spiritual food for the soul, for the spirit. Jesus is talking about the salvation. Sometimes we are hungry and we don't even know what we want to eat. And the world is hungry and thirsty for Jesus. And many people don't know that. We need to declare the truth. Hallelujah. In sense, it could be translated. There is a young Christian with 2 fish that could be interpreted like a fish. One fish would be repentance and baptism. The other fish would be the Holy Ghost. And the 5 loaves of bread might be like the 5 gifts of the Spirit. You see, the fruits of the Spirit. But there is 9 fruits of the Spirit. So the little boy had only 7 items, you see, and there is 9 of those fruits of the Spirit. Maybe you are just a lad, you are a young person in the church. You don't have it all in you, all that experience, all these years that you've been rooted in the Word of God. But whatever you have in your basket, whatever you have, Jesus is calling you to share. To share. And don't worry if it's too little what you have. Jesus can multiply. Think about that lad, that boy. He didn't have much. You see, just a lad, just a child. And that's what many of us are. We are children in the kingdom of God. When you get baptized, you get the Holy Ghost. According to the Bible, we are just born again. You're just born. You are a child of God. And you are that little child. And whatever you have in your basket, God is calling you to share. To share. Because the world needs to hear that. The world needs that. Share the death of Christ. Our death in the flesh is through repentance. The burial of Christ is in the water baptism. And the resurrection of Christ is when we receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And with the power of the Holy Ghost, we can be witness. Remember Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. But after he got the Holy Ghost, he denied Jesus 3 times. He was scared. All the disciples, they were scared. They were hiding in a little room. They're hiding with the doors locked. Always scared. But then when they got the Holy Ghost, they could face all the people that they were afraid in the eye and proclaim Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Worship God. Hallelujah. The power of the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah. Let's fill our basket today. Hallelujah. Today is the day. Today, now is the hour to fill your baskets. Amen. Remember that little boy, he had only 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. So to bring your baskets to be filled. Remember the virgins, the 10 virgins, 10 were full, 10 were wise. The full virgins, they had those little lamps, they run out of oil. And they were told to go to the marketplace and fill their lamps. And the marketplace is the church. So this is the marketplace where God's going to pour his spirit in your lamp. All you have to do is open it up and say, God, I want that power to be your witness. Because it's the power of the Holy Ghost that gives you the strength to be witness and to stand up strong. Hallelujah. Let's stand up if you will. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and let's say a prayer. Lord, we want to thank you. We give you glory and honor and praises today. We come in here, Lord, as a little children. Lord, we come to you like a little child running to his dad. Lord, you are our Father, Heavenly Father. We need you more than anything in this world. Lord, we want to be witness. We want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We want to proclaim your word with boldness, with strength, without any shame, without any reservation. Lord, we want to be bold. Oh, hallelujah. Bold in the spirit. We want to be in the fire for God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Put your hands together. Worship God. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You have a little break. God bless you in Jesus' name.